Well, we finished up Moses, and we're going to do a couple of different things here until we start our new study. But for tonight, I'm going to look at John chapter 15, first six verses. I want you to find your place there and follow along with me. How many of you are too cold? One. Too warm. Okay, we got it right about right. Can't please everybody, I understand. Just try to get the majority. John 15. Jesus says there, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. So let's pray. Father, bless our study tonight. We know there are principles, precepts that you want us to see, understand, learn from. So open our spiritual eyes again tonight. Speak to us through your word. Lord, help us to be open to you. Help us right now to put everything aside, all the distractions, and focus for just a little while on the truth you have for us tonight. And Lord, that we'll not be hearers only, but doers of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, oh, there it is. There we go. Enduring God's purging. Our subject tonight is the purging of the Lord. I don't know, maybe some of you have already experienced some purging in your life. Purging is not always pleasant. But purging is very necessary. And Jesus explains here in this particular passage why it's so necessary. We talk about purging. Now, if you've ever grown fruit trees, Brother Stan has, boy, he grows a lot of them. But anytime you grow a fruit tree, you understand there has to be a time of purging before you can enjoy the product. The same applies in our Christian lives. Our lives, from time to time, require a purging. Before you can really enjoy, if you will, and experience the product of an abundant fruit, God is going to have to purge your life by His grace. When we talk about fruit trees, we understand that purging is done to bring more fruit. And just a little side note, you know, in the passage we read about fruit. We read about more fruit. And we read about much fruit. And Jesus speaks about all three in reference to the believer. Now, I don't know what level your fruit bearing is. I'm not here tonight to inspect your tree. That's your job. That's the Lord's job. But I know this. If we really, really, really want to bear not just fruit, not just more fruit, but if we want to bear much fruit, we need to understand there must be purging in our life. Now, how does God purge? Well, the sources of purging are His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. Through prayer, God can purge us as we pray, and He speaks to us. Through trials, of course, now, when we say purging, that's the first thing we think about. But see, it's not always that way. It's not always trials that He uses. But as He purges, don't ever forget, He promises strength and grace during those times of purging. See, He's not out to destroy us. He's not out to hurt us. Any more than the farmer who has an orchard and prunes his trees is out to hurt his trees. No, 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 He's trying to help his trees. He's not trying to kill them. He's not trying to harm them. He's trying to make them so they can bear more fruit. And that's what God does with us. Now, after the purging, He promises there's going to be more abundant blessings and fruitfulness. And so that's what we're talking about tonight, purging. Now, for a Christian to bear much fruit, he has to be willing, listen, he has to be willing to accept the Master's purging. You mean I can turn it down? No, that's not the point. The purging may come, but you need to see it for what it is and respond to it. You know, nobody ever really wants purging in their Christian life. I haven't met any Christians who said, boy, I can't wait till God purges my life. But see, it's the only way to get to more fruit. And so we have to expect it. We have to look for it. Purging is necessarily a part of it. Now, probably all of us have a favorite fruit. Personally, I don't have any one particular favorite, I guess. I have several favorites. Actually, I like just about all fruit. There's a few I don't. But most, you know, a lot of people say, do you have a favorite fruit? Sure, I like cherries. I like strawberries. I like mangoes. Whatever it might be. But you know, most of us know where we can get that fruit. And for us, city dwellers, we go to Giant. And we find fruit. We choose it. We pay for it. We take it home. We enjoy it. But see, we need to remember that that fruit doesn't just appear at the Giant store. There's a whole process behind that fruit. Somebody had to plant it, somebody had to water it, somebody had to cultivate it, somebody had to grow it, somebody had to harvest it, somebody had to clean it and package it, transport it, all of that, so it would be on the shelf when you went there to buy some fruit. And the fact is this, the same thing's true in our Christian life. Listen to me, the fruit of your Christian life isn't just going to appear. It takes work to develop the fruit of your Christian life. Well, it's a process. Now, in what we've read here, according to Jesus, if a child of God is going to bear spiritual fruit, he's going to have to endure the rigors of growth. He's going to have to realize that every obstacle that he faces is an opportunity to reach his full potential as a Christian. And for growth to occur, there are several key contributors that have to be in place. If you want spiritual growth, if you want to bear spiritual fruit, there's some things that are required. First and foremost, you need the life-giving water of the Word of God. Now, do you understand what happens when you don't water things? I found out yesterday and today. Back in May, I wanted to get my wife pretty flowers for the yard. Shepherd's hook right out her kitchen window. So I bought a couple of nice baskets for the front porch, and I bought one for that shepherd's hook. And now, I don't know if you realize, but if you've got to hang up baskets, they take water and water and water. And you've got to be diligent. Now, last week, when Brother Kaiser was here, he was helping with some things, and one of the baskets on the front porch, it had been fine. I went out one morning, and he was meeting me, and I said, look at that basket. I mean, it looked like it was dead. It was these beautiful red little flowers, and it was all, I said, I know I watered the thing maybe yesterday or the day before. It couldn't have died that fast. So I took it down, I took the other one down, I set them down, and I watered them real good. Just in the morning. Later, when I changed clothes to come to Bible school, I walked by that same plant. Looked great. What was the problem? Lack of water. But now on the shepherd's hook in the backyard, I've been watering that thing. And I looked out the other day, and it looked bad. I went out, I dumped some water on it. I went out yesterday, and I dumped some water on it. And it hadn't helped it a lick. It's pretty yard dead. Now, apparently, I didn't get the water there quick enough. That's what happens. Things dry up real fast. And see, that happens in our Christian life when we get away from the water of the Word. Remember Psalm 1, verse 3? Speaking of the righteous man now, David says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, we want to bear fruit. Well, if I ask each of you individually, do you really want to bear fruit in your Christian life? I'm sure everyone would say, well, sure. But how utterly foolish is it for us to think that no more can a tree live without water? How can we bear fruit as Christians if we're not having the water of the Word of God to refresh and strengthen and meet our needs? See, that's why it's important to be planted in a church where the water of the Word of God runs freely. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this. You can go to a church that calls itself Christian and calls itself a Bible-preaching church, and you can dry up and wither away. If the Word really isn't being preached. You mean there's churches like that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe, today we have churches more about entertainment than preaching the Word. See, there was a time in America when people didn't go to church to be entertained. They went to hear from the Bible. Well, now people don't want to hear from the Bible. If a church preaches the Bible, they don't want to go there. See, that's what we need. We need the spiritual nourishment of the water of the Word of God. So, number one, you need to be in a church where it runs freely. And number two, you need to go to the well. What do you mean? Think about this. How healthy would you be if you came here every Sunday and God used me to give you a big drink of spiritual water? And you didn't get any more till next Sunday. You'd be just like my plant, spiritually. Now, listen, I can't come to your house every day and water you. Can't do that. So that means you got to go to the well every day and get a big drink. How do I do that? You get your Bible out, you set aside a time, and you sit down and say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Fill my cup, Lord. Amen? That's what we need. And number two, not only do we need the water of the Word of God, we need the receptivity, the openness, the submissive heart attitude towards the Word of God as we read it. In other words, we're not just reading to say, well, I read. we're reading so we can learn. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. See, there Jesus is liking those who receive the word of God on good ground to a withered flower receiving a cool rain on a summer day. Their minds were receptive. Their hearts were open. Just like a farmer plows his field before he plants it. He prepares it. And listen, our hearts need to be prepared to hear the word of God. All right. If a Christian is going to bear fruit, from time to time, there's going to be a purging. And that purging is orchestrated by a father. And just, you know, if a farmer really knows what he's doing, he knows just which branches to purge. He knows which ones are going to bear fruit. He knows which ones are going to hinder. He knows how much to cut back and how much not to cut. You know, I've pruned some trees. Sometimes a little too much. And sometimes not enough. But see, God always knows just how far to go as he prunes in our lives. There will be a process of pruning. And that pruning is not always pleasant. It's not a time we would like, usually. But there's a trimming, there's a shaping, chastening of the Heavenly Father so that we can bear the fruit. Story here about a man who, completely dejected by life's afflictions, is walking one day in the botanical gardens of Oxford, when this wonderful pomegranate tree catches his eye. One of the stems had been cut deeply with a pruning knife. And he sees the gardener and he asks the gardener the reason he had done that. And the answer shed new light on his troubled soul. He said, "Sir, this tree used to shoot up and out so strongly that it bore nothing but leaves. Therefore, I was obliged to cut in this manner, and when it almost cut through, then it began to bear plenty of fruit." Purging. All right, what is purging? Well, Webster says purging is this: to make free of impurities, to rid of unfriendly elements. And so we understand that if God is going to purge us, he's going to rid us or make free from impurities and rid us of unfriendly elements. You see, God loves you. Amen? That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? But because God loves us, he's concerned about anything in our lives that is unfriendly to him. If there's pride in our life, he wants to purge it. If there's hurt, he wants to heal it. If there are burdens, he wants to bear them. God's desire for each of us is that we would bear fruit. And even in purging, he's preparing for greater blessings and victories for us. So Jesus says, "I am the vine." He says, "We're the branches." Isn't it interesting, of all the plants Jesus could have chose for this illustration, he chooses the vine and the branch. Now, I've never grown grapes. I remember my aunt used to have a grape arbor, and my neighbor used to have a grape arbor, and they grew these little purple grapes that are kind of sweet, but the skin is tough, and the seeds and everything. What we used to do, we put it in our mouth, get all the flavor, poof. And we would actually go and sit on top of the grape arbor and just sit up there and eat grapes. But I've never grown them, so I don't know much about them. But I'm told that with grapevines, the branches are prone to water. The vine stays pretty taut, but the branches like to run. Shoots going all over the place. Seems like they have a mind of their own. they're full of freedom and they go where they want to go and do what they want to do, and sometimes they find themselves in very wasteful soil. Sometimes they end up running to areas where they should not be. That's why they need a husbandman to care for the branches. We are like the branches. We're prone to wander. We want to do our own will. Rather do what we want than what he wants. So Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. God is the husbandman. And his gentle hands are sent to prune and purge areas to help us when we've gone astray. Three reasons why we need to patiently abide in Christ during our purging. Number one, purging signifies the providence of God. Let me say that another way. Purging reminds us of God's divine intervention. He has gone before us with his will. God is sovereign. God has a plan for our lives. God is in control. And this reminds us of that. In verse 1 here, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the fellow who dresses the vine. And the husbandman has all authority over the branches. Like a father who knows what's best for a child, God the Father knows what's best for us. By the way, can you imagine if the husbandman went to prune the branches and the branches argued with him? They don't, do they? No, they're subject to him. You know, if one of our children gets out in the middle of a street where it's dangerous, he's acting against what his father would want for him, so the father has to bring him back in the house, reprove him, discipline him. Why? Because it's dangerous out there. Now, the dad don't do that to hurt the child. He don't do that to get even with the child. He don't do that because he's mad at the child. He does that because he's concerned about the child. And he wants what's best for him. Listen, when God puts purging in our life, it's because he loves us and wants the best for us. Hebrews 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We're told if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore, all are partakers, and you are bastards and not sons. Listen, one of the great things about purging from God is it reaffirms we belong to him. He don't purge other people's kids. Now, a Christian who resists the Holy Spirit repeatedly by saying no to God and repeatedly by refusing to yield his will to God's will is actually forcing God to purge. You listening? I don't know why God let this happen to me. I don't know why this has to. Maybe you put God in a position where you wouldn't listen, so God had to do some things to get your attention. Remember, Paul said this over in Corinthians. He said, if we judge ourselves, then we don't need to be judged. That means, hey, if we'll take care of the problems in our life, God won't have to take care of it. Problem is, we don't take care of the problems in our life. Now, as the husbandman, listen to what I'm going to say. God can even take a branch away. Now, understand this. Jesus says there, when he's dealing with this vine, if there's something there that isn't a part of the vine, he can take that and throw it away. It's going to get burned up, right? But now, what about the branch here that God says, I tried to prune this thing, I tried to work with this thing, it's just not making it. What do you do then? The Bible says it can be cut off, purged, and here's what, listen, doesn't mean a person loses their salvation. What it means is God will have to cut them off and take them home to heaven where they can't bear any more fruit. See, over in 1 John chapter 5, it talks about there is a sin unto death. See, that's for believers. Now, John's talking about, listen, when we sin and God deals with us and we refuse to repent and we keep sinning and God deals with us and God tries to purge us and we don't cooperate with God and we just keep going our own merry way, there might come a time when God says, you're not bearing any fruit. You're just hindering the rest of the vine. I am going to cut you off and take you on home. That happens. And I told somebody just recently, I know some people what happened to them. No doubt about it, God took them home early. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, Jesus says in verse 2. Now, it's easy to assume an individual living for himself would need some pruning. But this is interesting here. He says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. All right, listen, none of us has a problem when we see a Christian who's not living the Christian life, and God brings chastening on him, we say, well, you know, that's the way God works, right? But Jesus said, now watch, the branch that is bearing fruit, this is the Christian who's trying to do what's right, still will endure purging. You say, well, that doesn't sound very fair. Well, let's move on and see. You see, the fact is this. Christians who are faithfully going to church, singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school class, bringing the family to church, and living for Christ, even faithful, godly Christians need God's purging. Now, the purging may not be chastening, but it is God's way of molding and shaping a believer according to his will. See, God can prune even a faithful branch. Preacher, I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm doing everything I know he wants me to do, and I'm still having a hard time. No kidding. That's the purging. Why do I have to go through this? So you'll bear more fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, look over at Galatians 5, 22. Fruit of the Spirit. See, maybe God wants to see you be more loving or more gentle or more kind. Or more. It's not that you're not bearing fruit, but God wants you to bear more fruit. I don't know where we ever got this idea. I should go so far as a Christian, that's far enough. No. We're to bear fruit. And when we're bearing fruit, then we're to move on to bearing more fruit. And when we're bearing more fruit, we ought to be moving on to bearing much fruit. That's what glorifies God. You have an orchard, you have a tree. Oh, it bears some fruit. It's an okay tree. But I got this one over here, it bears more fruit. This one gives me a peck, this one gives me six pecks. Ah, but I look at this one. It bears much fruit. Huh? See, this is how God's looking at Christians. Hey, I got a Christian over here bearing some fruit, but I want to see him move over here, bear much fruit. Or more fruit. And then move on over here, bear much fruit. That's how we glorify God. Because he's the husbandman. We're a part of his garden. Every fruit we bear glorifies him. Because it's his garden. He's the one that takes care of it. Listen, when somebody goes into an orchard, the fact that the tree's bearing much fruit really don't glorify the tree. When's the last time a person patted a tree on the back and said, you're doing a good job? They go find the person who owns the orchard, right? You're doing a good job purging and fertilizing and spraying and doing. Didn't Jesus say, without me, ye can do nothing? We need him. And he's purging us so that we can bring forth more fruit and bring more glory to him. Now, it's a pruning process. You're doing your best, but you still come under it. When you face hardship, remember, God only prunes to your profit. Robert Browning Hamilton wrote this, "I walked them out with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked them out with sorrow. A narrow word, said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." When do we learn the most? In the toughest times. Now, sometimes the vocabulary of pleasure depends on the imagery of pain. At times we rejoice, at times we weep, but never do we see more clearly than through the eyes that are washed with tears. You know, we get into that purging and we're abiding during these times. And we're saying to the Lord, God, I don't like the way this feels. I don't like the trials I'm having. But I'm going to acknowledge who you are. And I'm going to allow you to do what you want to do and purge me so I can bear more fruit. Well, then we move on to the next point. Purging signifies the providence. Didn't I do that? I thought I did. Hey. All right. Did you get those? You got those? I'll give you a minute. I got lost on my clicker. God is the husbandman. God has authority over the branches. He owns us. He can do what he wants. That's the long and short of it. Okay? Now, he can remove unfruitful branches. We said that. He can prune a fruitful branch. We said that. Purging increases the productivity of God's people. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. God says to any believer who's really serious about bearing fruit for him, God says, if there's anything that is drawing your affection, if there is anything between you and me, I need to purge it from your life so you can bear more fruit. Think about that. If there's anything you're loving more than me, if there's anything that's coming between us, then I need to purge that from your life. I need that. So you can bear more fruit. By removing the object of affection, God is now able to produce more fruit in us. Now, I've never really been to a vineyard. But again, they tell me that we talked about how the branches want to go. But see, God wants us to remain attached to him closely. You know, the most fruitful Christians, you listen to me, are those who have stayed faithful to the Lord through the most difficult trials that life has to offer. Sometimes we hear these testimonies of people been through things, you wonder, how in the world did they ever get through that? But they did, and now because of that, it was a pruning process, and because of what's happened to them, they can now bear more fruit. More fruit. More fruit. The Christian who turns his back on God during the times of purging is a Christian who has another trial waiting for him. another lesson to be learned. You know what I tell people? Some of you know this already. When they're going through trials, I say, hey, you don't want to fail this trial. Why? Because if you fail this trial, you're going to face it again. Don't ever forget that. When you go through a trial and a tribulation and you fail the test, you're going to take the test over again. Kind of till you get it right. And see, then God can move you on. It's kind of one of these things, well, you can't move on until you master this. Once you got this, then you can move on. Until you master this, then you can't move on. You understanding? That's why it's so important when we're going through the purging that we handle it right. We don't get mad at God. We don't quit on God. We okay, Lord, I belong to you. This is what you're doing. And yield yourself to him. Paul says over in Romans 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Paul said we're to praise God, and Paul was able to praise God in tribulations. Can you do that? See, Paul says here, I understand that the tribulations I'm going through, the purging I'm going through, is God doing a work. It's bringing patience, and then patience brings experience, and experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. That's a building process. Through the trial, God was teaching Paul something he could have never learned. You listening to me? Teaching him something he could have never learned in a Sunday school class or even in a church service. Listen, God has a lot of lessons for us to learn outside of these walls. Paul. That's why he could say over in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, we like to use that in soul winning and all, but understand when he's talking about the gospel, he's talking about the truth of Christ. And he knew that God was teaching him that through the burdens come the blessings. You know, there's a saying in our modern day, no pain, no gain. Well, why don't we understand that's true spiritually? I don't know about you, but I want to bear greater fruit. The problem is I know what it takes to bear more fruit and much fruit. Purging. Do you like purging? No. But if I want to bear more fruit, I have to understand that's what it's going to take. I have to endure the present purging so I can have that future purpose. The purging you face now will only yield a greater reward when the harvest time comes. Those trees now, Brother Stan, they prune apple and fruit trees in the winter, right? Yeah, I've seen them out there like February. You wonder, why is somebody fooling with a tree in February? No leaves, no fruit. No. Making preparation. See, because that's when the work has to be done. Because the harvest is later. We're making preparation for the harvest. And when God purges us, he's making preparation in us. And then number three, oh, I did it again. Increases productivity of God's people, refocuses our affections back on him. Remember, we said anything that's coming between you and him, it's got to purge. Can I remind you? There may well be some things in your life you don't want to give up. You don't want to yield. But they're coming between you and him. And he's saying, I need to purge those things because you can't bear the fruit that you need to bear, that I want you to bear, because you won't give these things up. And maybe the opposite is true. Maybe there's some things you're not willing to do. Oh, no, I'm not doing it. Oh. And then number two, keeps us close to the vine. Close to the vine. We need to stay close to Him. And big point number three, purging facilitates the purification of God's people. Of course, we know that. In verse 3, Jesus said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now, He's saying this to His 11 disciples. Maybe He spoke these words. He's talking about, and He's using an illustration, and maybe there was even a vineyard that He could see. But He's talking to His disciples, and He's preparing them. He spent 3.5 years preparing them. He's got to prepare them for His impending death and His burial and His resurrection. And He was very interested at this point of making them understand how important it is to be clean or set apart for what He had for them. When He's speaking, He uses two different applications. In one, He spoke to the group. The other, He spoke to individuals. They've been cleansed as a group by the words Jesus had spoken to them, and probably by the removal of Judas from their midst. Don't forget, Judas was the one who had all the outward appearances of a faithful disciple, but never truly belonged to Christ. You know, that's a scary thing. That he could walk with the other 11 for 3.5 years. Now, Jesus knew who he was. He said, I've chosen you, one of you is the devil. But they never knew. We don't even find a word of them suspecting. Why, when Jesus said, one of you has betrayed me, they all looked at each other. They didn't look at Judas. You see, why'd you say that's scary? Because that can happen in church. People come and look Christian, talk Christian, do a lot of the things Christians do, and are not Christian. It happens. Well, why is that scary? Because they're going to die and go to hell. They're going to go to church. They're going to do things Christians do. They're going to die and go to hell. Because they've never trusted Christ. So, now Judas is cut off. Boy, that's pruning, isn't it? He's a dead branch with nothing there. Burned up. And then, you know, sometimes, hey, listen. Not only does God purge individuals, but sometimes He has to purge a group. Sometimes He has to purge a church. I've seen God purge our church. What do you mean? Well, unfortunately, there were some people who weren't in agreement and weren't with us, and God had to remove them. That's why sometimes you look around you and say, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? God had to remove them. I remember way back when, God had to remove better than half the church. You remember that? Yeah. One night, we had half on this side that was for me and half on this side against me. God had to remove that side. Now see, God had to remove it because that's the only way the church could move on. As long as you got people that are divided and people that are divisive in the church, it's not going to be able to do what you're supposed to do. So sometimes God has to purge a church. It's a sad thing. By the way, make sure you're not one that God ever has to purge out of the church. Now, God is concerned with spiritual purity, and purging is part of the purification process. God's word is a cleansing agent. Listen, you see that picture of that pruning thing? That's God's word. That's what God uses to do the pruning, His word. That's why in Hebrews we're told, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divided center of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why I do everything I can to get you to read your Bible. Because it's a pruning tool. And I've had the occasion, you probably have too, to be reading along there, everything's going great, and all of a sudden God wants to cut. Oh, that hurt. God said, yeah, but you needed that. God uses His word to enter into our lives with power. And His word cleanses us and purifies us. Why does He do that? Because that always produces more fruit. I said, God doesn't purge us to get even with us. He doesn't purge us to hurt us. He wants to help us. He desires for us to be pure vessels bearing fruit that pleases Him. And I don't know, maybe you're going through a burden right now. Maybe you're in some trials and tribulations. And you know, if you're a Jonah running from God, his purging has brought chastisement. And the best thing for you to do is what Jonah did. Repent. Get back where you need to be. Well, God wants to draw us closer to the vine. We have to be pliable. We're so often He's trying to draw us close and we're hard. We don't want to, And then they've been cleansed individually by the word. You know, Peter said over in 1 Peter 1:7. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And see, if you will abide during these times of purging, one day you'll be able to praise and thank God for His goodness in your life when you stand before Him. James 1:4. James wants to encourage Christians in Jerusalem not to run. Why? There was a purging going on. And he says this, let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, sometimes when we're being purged, we want to run away. I don't like this. I don't want this. But listen, we need to abide faithful. We need to keep that sensitive heart. Instead of withdrawing, we need to draw closer to Him. Here's the key. When we start backing away from God, we limit God's potential to work in our hearts. I preach a message about limiting God. In the introduction, I mentioned this. It's an awesome thought to think I can hinder Almighty God from doing what He wants to do. It says of Jesus a couple of places where He went, He could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And God has given every one of us a free will. And God says, I want you to yield your will to me. So we can either have my will as my will, or I can have God's will as my will. If we're going to draw nigh to God, and we're going to be close to God, and we're going to bear the fruit God wants us to bear, we have to give up our will and say, okay, Lord, I want your will. And be pliable to him. I talked about the clay and the potter not long ago. When we turn our back, when we run, when we refuse to listen to him and to allow him to do what he wants to do, we limit his work in our life. And when we do that, we, in effect, restricting the eventual fruit bearing that God wanted to produce in us. Story and I'm done. This fellow's talking about, he visited his mother and father-in-law's home. While he was there, he learned a real important lesson. When he got to his father-in-law's house, he was immediately escorted to the backyard. And he tells how if you visited his father-in-law during gardening season, you didn't greet his wife, you didn't meet the dog, you didn't sit down and talk, you went right to the garden. And when you got there, he'd start showing you row after row of beets and lettuce. And he'd explain how he planted the seed and what kind of fertilizer he used. And all he would talk about. This fellow said he loved hearing all this. And this particular evening, the weather was kind of cold and the plants had been harvested. But he said when we walked around the corner of the house, there was a peach tree that used to be there. Only now it wasn't much of a peach tree. He said it was nothing more than about a 3-foot stub sticking out of the ground. He remembered that was a peach tree and eating peaches off that tree. He looked at his father-in-law and he said, Dad, you killed that tree. His father looked back at him and he said, oh, no. He said, that tree wasn't producing fruit like it should have. He said, I called a friend who knew about these kind of trees, and he said, there's only one thing you can do with a tree like that. Whack it right down almost to the ground. This man said to him, to himself, he thought, this is like going to a barbershop asking for a little trim, getting a marine haircut in return. What happened to this poor peach tree? But he didn't argue. He didn't know anything about this stuff. He said, yeah, all right. Besides that, he was afraid his father-in-law might whack him down to the ground. But as he walked away, he thought, that thing's dead. Might as well dig that up and put another one in. But he said a couple of summers later, he was by and he went by that tree. And he said, I couldn't believe my eyes. He said, that was the most fruitful peach tree I'd ever seen. Why? Because the necessary purging had taken place, and greater fruit was now the result. Listen, God's plan for our lives isn't over until the trumpet sounds. Life's mishaps, life's tragedies, are no excuse or reason for us to bail out on God or to quit on God. Those are actually reasons to stay faithful and hopeful in God. We go through all these things and we have faith that, hey, this is going to work together for good. Did you ever read that verse? And it's going to produce more spiritual fruit in my life. You ever go through a tunnel on a train? I did. North Carolina one time. The man came over to us. We were up on it, seeing the leaves in the fall. And the man came up. We were on open cars. He said, "Now we're going through a tunnel and it's going to get real dark. Stay in your seat. Don't move around. You won't be able to see your hand in front of your face for a few minutes. But we'll come out on the other side. Just stay." Sure enough, we got in that tunnel. I want to tell you, it got dark. And he was right. Couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But you know, when we went through that tunnel, there was no way I was bailing out when it was dark. Listen, when it gets dark like that, you buckle your seatbelt tight, you hang on. That's what we need to do as Christians. You're going to have dark times. It's not always going to be sunshine in your life. But listen, when the dark times come, don't bail out. Buckle your seatbelt. Hang on. You know what happened on that train? Got through the other side, and there was a beautiful sunshine. That's what God wants to do in your life. The answer is found in abiding in Christ. You're not the first person to weep. You're not the first person to need help. Don't ever forget, God is still on His throne. And don't ever forget this. Your day to bloom is just around the corner. Stay faithful. Let God do what He wants to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your purging. Oh, it's not pleasant. We fuss and fight against it too often. But thank you that you're still working on us. And though we don't like the purging, we know that it's necessary if we're going to bear more fruit. And Lord, there's the issue. Help us to have that yearning and that desire and that want to of bearing more fruit. Being able to be more for you and do more for you and show the fruits of Christianity more and more every day of our lives. It don't come without work. It don't come easily. Lord, oftentimes there's some aches and pains that come with it. But we know that you're working. You're working as the husbandman to make us more fruitful. Help us to ponder these things and Lord, yield ourselves to you. And we pray all this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.